shake of his head before rounding on me.
It's good to see you back on your feet. My daughter told me about your condition, and I was beginning to fear the worst. We haven't had many travelers out this way, but I've heard of foreigners dying and vanishing permanently, killed by some sort of strange, untreatable illness. I'm relieved you're not one of them.
He paused, squinting as his lips pulled up into a barely there smile.
I've been up all night thinking over the details of your ordeal. I would have hated to waste all that effort only to have you die prematurely.
Well, I said, struggling to find a tactful response. That's very thoughtful of you. His smile widened a fraction of an inch.
You seem like a good egg, Jack. I hope you make it through this. Now, as your people say, let's get down to brass tacks. Obviously, much of the day's already been spent, but there is still time for you to complete the ritual, assuming you are willing and ready.
He paused and folded his hands behind his back.
So, are you ready, Jack?
I sighed and ran a nervous hand through my hair. As ready as I'm ever going to be, I finally replied with a bob of my chin. He paused again, eyeing me more intently, scrutinizing every inch of me, his smile fading, turning into a thin, tight line.
There is something new about you today, he said, almost in a whisper. There is a vitality to you that wasn't there before. And fire, a fire in your belly.
He frowned, a look of confusion briefly passing across his face, before he nodded in approval.
That is good. You're going to need fire to survive the trial ahead of you. Now, unfortunately, boy, he continued, your ordeal will have to be quite unorthodox and far more strenuous than what most initiates experience. The majority of seekers typically undergo two different initiation ordeals. The first,
he raised one finger into the air,
is to prove they are worthy of the title of Dark Templar, Matal. The second ordeal,
another finger shot up,
takes place much later on, once a novice Dark Templar has already mastered the fundamentals of the class. That second trial confers a kit specialization. Few have what it takes to become Matal. Fewer still have what it takes to go further.
But I already have a specialization selected, I interjected. I'm supposed to be a Shadowmancer.
Half true, he replied. You are something of an anomaly. A child too ambitious for your own good. Essentially, you've learned to run before you've learned to walk. Your natural aptitude has already marked you with the distinction of a class specialization. Yet,
he paused, suddenly very serious.
Yet you have failed to prove you are worthy to bear the title of Matal in the first place. So, I have come up with a different test for you. Instead of two trials, you shall have only one. One single terrible ordeal, far more difficult than is truly fair to ask of any initiate.
I felt the growing lump in my throat. What in the world did he want me to do?
To give you as much of an edge as possible, he said after a beat. I will temporarily grant you the Dark Templar base class and give you access to your Shadowmancer skill tree during the course of your ordeal. But should you fail in this, you will lose your temporary class change and the path of the Dark Templar will be forever closed to you. Additionally, should you fail, any proficiency points you invested in the Shadowmancer skill tree will be lost forever. Knowing all of this, Would you still like to proceed?
Once more, I found myself reeling on the edge of a precipice with no hope of return. The last time I'd heard those words, "Would you still like to proceed?" it had been a VR version of Robert Osmark explaining the risks of stepping into the world of VGO. It felt unreal to be hearing those same words again, this time coming from the mouth of a Merc Elf chieftain. If I took this step, there'd be no going back. If I failed, this class would be closed forever, relegating me to something else, something less, and robbing me of priceless proficiency points in the process. Or I could walk away. It was all or nothing. In my old life, I'd lived in a crappy apartment with crappy things making a crappy salary. All because I wasn't brave enough to step out and take risks. This was a new life, though. A new chance. And I wasn't going to make the same mistakes again. In for a penny, in for a pound, I said with a nod. Lay it on me. XXX. Dark Templar. The chieftain offered a broad grin, crow's feet jutting from the corners of his eyes.
Wonderful.
He rubbed his hands together. In a few quick steps, he was before me and had my head gripped between his heavily calloused palms. Then he began to chant, his words foreign and odd, echoing with a strangely musical cadence. The handprint on my arm began to throb like a slow, steady heartbeat. Arctic cold sweeping through me like a sudden blizzard, my limbs trembling under the icy power. Part of me wanted to pull away from his hands, but I couldn't move. I could only stand, shiver, and watch. Soon, the chanting took on a new rhythm, fevered, edgy, erratic, and great bands of shifting black began to swirl and twirl around the chief until he was wreathed in a whirlwind of pure shadow. His eyes burned with violet light, and suddenly the pressure on my head increased 100-fold, his hands turning into a vice, bearing down on my skull with inhuman strength, sending jagged bolts of pain skipping through my body. I opened my mouth to scream, but no sound came out. Instead, the whirling vortex surrounding Cole poured into me, filling me with the dark, freezing energy of Umbra. It wriggled inside me, seeping through my skin, crawling over eyes and my hair, boring through my eardrums and permeating my gray matter. After what felt like a lifetime, the chief ceased his chanting and staggered away, sweat rolling down his face, his back bowed with exhaustion, his arms suddenly hanging like dead weights at his side. He stumbled and lurched left, then right, before carefully shuffling backward and lowering himself onto a mound of pillows, his breathing labored. I gracelessly collapsed to the ground, my legs rubber, my spine made of jello. My HP hadn't been affected in any way by the ceremony, but whatever the chief had done had completely drained me of spirit and stamina.
The ceremony is never easy, the chief said after a time. But it was even more difficult than usual with you, boy. Nearly killed myself unlocking your gift. I am suddenly reminded why there is a reason the ordeal is done in stages. He paused, wheezing as he dropped his head down. Still, it is done, he finished eventually. You now have access to the Shadowmancer Kit skills. Take a moment to examine the abilities available to you. Invest your proficiency points as you see fit. Then I will tell you about your initiation ordeal.
I nodded, too tired to say anything else. A host of notifications immediately popped up in front of me. I sighed, opened up my bag, and selected another slab of seared meat to gnaw on while I read through each prompt. I really needed to get my stamina back up to maximum. First was a long list of various traits I'd acquired with my new class.
Mantle of the Ma-Tal, Shadowmancer. As a guardian and enforcer of the Dark Pantheon, you wrap yourself in the shadow power of the Umbra, gaining a wide array of deadly powers. Effect 1, plus 5% faster movement rate, plus 1% per 4CL. Effect 2, plus 10% stealth, plus 1% per 5CL. Effect 3, immune to morale failure. Effect 4, plus 10% damage bonus against light-aligned players and NPCs. Effect 5, plus 20% resistance to shadow damage. Effect 6, access to Shadowmancer restricted skills. Effect 7, dark alignment added. Effect 8, 10% weakness against holy damage. Effect 9, cannot wear heavy armor. Effect 10, can only specialize in blunt weapons.
I whistled through my teeth. Those were some serious perks. I was sure the other classes offered some spectacular bonuses, but I bet they weren't nearly so extensive. I took another bite of meat, savoring the charred flavor as I toggled over to the Class Abilities screen.
Class unlocked. Congratulations, you have been granted the Dark Templar, Probationary, class, and have unlocked the Shadowmancer, Probationary, Specialty Kit. Each class has a variety of locked skills/abilities, which can be unlocked and improved by investing proficiency points earned while leveling up your character. Many skills require you to reach a certain character level before unlocking, and each unlocked spell can be upgraded a total of 7 times: Initiate, Novice, Adept, Journeyman, Specialist, Master, Grandmaster.
I read the brief explanation, then dismissed the notice and pulled up my Shadowmancer skill tree screen. My kit tree seemed to be broken down into 4 distinct groups: offensive skills, defensive skills, crowd control techniques, and passive abilities. Most of the abilities were currently blocked due to prerequisite skills or level restrictions, but there was still some awesome stuff available to me. I currently had 10 proficiency points to invest, but I needed to make sure I used them wisely, especially since it was possible I might lose any invested points if I failed this mission. I continued to chomp at my greasy mutton as I scanned through each of the 4 skill groupings, reading over the items with a careful eye. After a lot of thought and careful examination, I finally decided to drop 2 more points into Umbra Bolt, elevating the spell to the Adept level, then picked up 3 more active spells to round out my growing repertoire.
Skill, Shadow Stride. Time grinds to a crawl for everyone except the caster, allowing the Shadowmancer to evade enemies by slipping through the Shadowverse to a nearby location. While Shadow Striding, the Shadowmancer is immune to damage, but cannot attack, consume potions, or perform other spells. The Shadowmancer can only remain in the Shadowverse for 30 seconds, accelerated player time. Skill type, level, spell, initiate, cost, 100 spirit, range, 40 meters, cast time, instant, cooldown, 45 seconds, from cast time, effect, teleport through shadow to a nearby location, effect 2, immune to damage while shadow striding. Skill: Umbra Bog. Summon a bog of creeping shadows that temporarily ensnares your enemies, badly hindering movement. Skill type: Level. Spell: Initiate. Cost: 150 spirit. Range: 40 meters. Cast time: 1.0 seconds. Cooldown: 2 minutes. Effect: Ensnare enemies in a shadowy bog, slowing movement by 75%. Duration: 30 seconds. Skill: Dark Shield. Summon a powerful force field of dark energy to protect you from projectiles or spell damage. Skill type: Level. Spell: Initiate. Cost: 35 spirit per sec. Range: 1 meter. Cast time: Instant. Cooldown: Not applicable. Effect: Create a powerful force field which absorbs 110% times SP of projectile or spell damage. With Umbra Bolt, Shadow Stride, Umbra Bog, and Dark Shield in my tool belt, I had a little bit of everything. My blunt weapon skills and stealth abilities would allow me to deal out some serious damage up close and personal, while Umbra Bolt would give me a powerful ranged attack. The other spells would afford me a chance to capitalize on my quick movement rate, while offering some decent protection just in case things went sideways. Satisfied with those choices, I decided to also pick up Dark Harmony, a passive ability, and one aura skill called Night Armor. Ability: Dark Harmony. Draw on the ever-present power of the Umbra to heal grievous injuries to the flesh. Ability type: Level. Passive: Initiate. Cost: None. Range: Not applicable. Cast time: Not applicable. Cooldown: Not applicable. Effect: Increase health regeneration by 15%. Skill: Night Armor. Call upon the power of the night and wrap yourself in a barrier of dense shadow, diminishing the damage from melee attacks while simultaneously exacting retribution against your attacker. Skill type: Level. Aura: Initiate. Cost: 450 spirit. Duration: 20 minutes. Range: 1 meter. Cast time: Instant. Cooldown: Not applicable. Effect: Night Armor absorbs 15% of melee damage. Effect 2: Night Armor redirects 20% of absorbed melee damage back at the attacker.
Hopefully, with all of those extra perks and skills, I'd be able to survive whatever the chief had in store for me. I finally closed out of my interface menu to find the chief pacing the room in eager anticipation, his rough leather trousers whisk, whisk, whisking as he moved. He came to a stuttering halt as he noticed my gaze.
"So, have you made your choices?"
I nodded.
"Good. Then there is nothing left for you here. It is time for you to embark on your ordeal. To the southeast of here, there lives a terrible creature, the Moss Hag, a wretched being that dwells in the deep swamps. She is fond of encroaching on our boundaries and has a terrible hunger for the flesh of our people, especially our young. In order to prove yourself worthy of the title Matal, you must venture into the heart of her swamp alone and find a way to rid Yunam of this scourge once and for all. Do this, and you will be one of us. Fail," he faltered, surveying me with serious eyes. "Don't fail."
Quest update: Plight of the Matal. Chief Cole of the Akhani clan has charged you with destroying the Moss Hag living in the deep swamps to the southeast of Yunam. This noble deed will complete the quest Plight of the Matal, and you will receive one unique scalable item from Chief Cole as well as the Shadowmancer class kit. Quest class: Rare, class based. Quest difficulty: Infernal. Success. Eliminate the moss hag without dying within 24 in-game hours. Failure. Die during the Martal initiation ordeal or fail to eliminate the moss hag within 24 in-game hours. Reward. Class change. Dark Templar, Shadowmancer kit, unique, scalable item. Accept. Yes, no.
I accepted the quest without question, offered the chief a quick goodbye, then saw myself out of the building. Cutter was waiting for me outside. He was leaning against the base of the chieftain's enormous tree home, arms crossed, completely at ease, or at least that's what he was trying to convey. I could tell he was nervous, though, which was partly due to the fact that Amara lingered 20 feet away, staring at him with cold hostility, casually inspecting the razor-sharp blade of a dagger, watching his every move.
"How bad is it?"
Cutter asked, purposely ignoring Amara's icy glare. "Pretty bad," I said honestly before filling him in on the details. He nodded, grimaced, then shrugged.
"Well, you can only do what you can do, I suppose. Just remember what I said when we were training. There's always someone bigger, faster, stronger. So you need to be smarter. Misdirection and a well-placed blow can fell even the most imposing warriors. Remember that?"
He cocked a finger and tapped at his temple.
"And you'll do all right. And if not, well, then both our asses are royally screwed. Best of luck, Grimjack. Best of luck, 'cause you're gonna need it."
Test Drive. I left through the main gate, this time alone, the sun dropping below the tree line, long, deep shadows giving the forest an ominous appearance. I checked my map and saw the moss hag's burrow was just south from the pit Cutter and I had originally fallen into, the one near the border with the creepy spiderkin, which meant I could easily follow the ambling path back to the pit, likely avoiding the forest's assorted deadly denizens, then cut over. The lazy couch potato in my soul said that's what I should do. Just follow the road, stick to the path of least resistance. I dismissed the idea the second I was out of the gate, though. I only had one shot to accomplish this mission, and assuming the chieftain hadn't been over-exaggerating, it was going to take everything I had to get the deed done. Which meant I wasn't going to be able to just walk into the moss hag's burrow, punch her in the teeth, and call it quits, quick and easy. Which further meant I needed to have a handle on my new abilities when I confronted her. It certainly wouldn't do to show up for the big boss fight and shadow stride my way off a cliff by accident. The odds were already stacked heavily against me, so I needed every advantage I could get my mitts on. Besides, I was pretty excited to see what my new spells could actually do. So I headed off-road, fighting my way into the twisting trees, careful to avoid the grabbing roots and tangles of mossy vegetation littering the forest floor. I kept checking my map as I went, using the road as a guide since it was so hard to keep directionally oriented in the labyrinth-like woods. I pulled up my interface as I moved, keeping one eye on my surroundings while I double-checked the various spells now available to me. Dark Harmony was a passive ability, which boosted my HP recovery rate by 15%, so I didn't need to do anything with that, but the Knight Armor was a defensive aura I could throw on right now. The spell lasted 20 minutes, but at 450 spirit per cast, it was easily the most expensive ability in my arsenal. Still, I was pumped to see what it did. I set my mind on casting the spell, and suddenly knowledge bloomed in the back of my head, information flooding through me as if I'd remembered something long forgotten. As my intention hardened, arctic power coalesced into a tight knot in my chest, then rushed out with a soft whoosh. Shimmering ribbons of shadow exploded around me, constantly shifting and running over every inch of my body, clinging to me like a second skin. A little pop-up appeared in the corner of my eye, telling me how long I had left before the spell lapsed and dissipated. I held up my hands, examining them as the violet shadow energy continued to twist and twirl around me. I couldn't actually feel anything. The knight armor was completely weightless and in no way restricted my movement, but it sure looked intimidating as hell. I grinned. Awesome. My steps faltered as I heard a rustle and caught a glimpse of movement through the dense tree cover ahead. Even though I hadn't gotten a good glimpse of the thing, I'd seen enough to know it wasn't a spider, thank God. The thing ahead had green flesh and walked mostly upright. I dropped into a crouch, embracing stealth and fading to the world as I stole forward like a ghost in the night. Another flash of movement, this time 30 feet or so away and closing quickly, caught my eye again. Time to try one of my other new abilities I was very curious about. Shadow Stride. I fixed my gaze on an inky pool of shadow near a clump of trees not far from where I'd seen the movement, and triggered the spell with a thought, expecting to teleport in a blink. Once more, cold power rushed out of me, and, as it did, the ever-present shadows around me responded, surging into motion, surrounding me in a puff of black smoke, as another timer appeared below my knight armor countdown clock. I took a quick glance around, momentarily stunned by what I was seeing. I'd expected to simply step through space and time in one fluid motion, departing point A and arriving at point B in a blink. That wasn't even close to what happened. No, I was in a different realm. Everything looked more or less the same, except now the landscape was painted in muted shades of gray, black, and purple, and time had come to a virtual standstill. Everything was as quiet as the inside of a long buried tomb. No wind stirred in this place, no breeze rustled the leaves, no bugs chirped. The air felt stale and heavy. Still feeling supremely unsure, I strode forward, cautiously moving toward the clump of shadow I'd originally been aiming at. It took me a handful of seconds to get there, which is when I finally caught sight of my prey lurking behind a clump of overgrown ferns. A storm marsh mantis. The creature was a hunched thing with green chitinous armor, buggy eyes, monstrous tearing mandibles, huge translucent wings protruding from its back, and a pair of scythe-like blade arms that immediately made me understand where this thing had gotten its name. It did look like a praying mantis, one that was about 5 feet tall and mutated by the radiation from an atomic blast. And the mantis wasn't alone. Three more loitered nearby, though all of them were completely motionless, frozen in time like statues by my spell. Wicked. The spell description explicitly stated I couldn't attack while shadow striding, but I couldn't help myself. I had to at least try. I lazily swung my warhammer at the nearest creature, expecting to feel the familiar thud of steel on flesh. Woof. Nothing. My hammer, slightly translucent, sailed right through the creature's skull as though it were made of smoke, passing in one side and out the other without a hitch. No damage at all. The Shadow Stride countdown timer was now only seconds away from expiring, so I maneuvered to the creature's side and dropped back into stealth, preparing for a brawl. The timer flashed red. Warning, warning, warning. Then time crashed back into me as the Shadowverse vomited me into a world bursting with color, movement, sound, life. I lashed out with my hammer, triggering Savage Blow as I connected with one of the Mantis's buggy eyes. Its eye ruptured from the impact, but I didn't take the time to watch the result of my handiwork. I was already moving as the Mantis fell. I darted left, summoning an Umbra Bolt as I moved, then lobbed it into the face of the nearest overgrown insect. The energy bolt shot out like a missile, and though it didn't kill the bug, it sliced into its HP and left it momentarily blinded and reeling. The remaining mantises surged into motion, quick as a lightning strike, and, before I could do anything else, a scythe-bladed limb slammed into the side of my face, lifting me from my feet and into the air. The blow hurt, obviously, but the knight armor blanketing me absorbed a sizable chunk of the damage and, also, mercifully, blunted the actual pain from the attack. Even if knight armor did nothing else, easing the hurt from damage taken would be well worth the cost. I curled into a roll, just like Cutter had taught me, and came back to my feet, unleashing another Umbra Bolt at the Mantis recovering from my last shadowy assault. Another of the bugs, however, was already closing in, its sword-edged appendage swiping at my face. I swung my warhammer up in time to narrowly catch the attack, preventing the bladed limb from removing my head at the neck. Sudden energy infused my limbs, my parry technique kicking in. I shot left in a blur, spinning my hammer into the creature's temporarily exposed chest. The attack landed for 200 points of damage and knocked off a good chunk of its HP, but failed to kill it outright. Another strike whipped toward me. Once more I caught the limb, but one of its legs hooked my ankle, jerking me from my feet in one quick, fluid motion. I landed hard on my back, suddenly worried that I'd run into this fight without really thinking through things, a common character flaw I really needed to work on. The creature threw back its head in a shriek of victory, and I had a flash of deja vu, my mind replaying the horrific scene from the spider pit, a fat arachnoid loitering over me, cocooning me with spider silk. What the hell was it with monstrous insects pinning me down? This time, though, Cutter wasn't going to jump out and pull my bacon from the metaphorical fire. I'd have to save myself. The Mantis lunged down, its drool-slick mandibles jabbing for my face. I flinched and triggered my Shadow Stride ability on instinct, despite being flat on my back with no room to move. A blast of arctic cold and an explosion of shadowy smoke followed. When the smoke cleared a second later, I was back in the muted Shadowverse, with a pair of gleaming, drool-tipped fangs hovering an inch above my face, on the verge of impaling me through the eyeballs. Terrifying. I licked my lips, then wiggled down and rolled. Its legs should have prevented me from performing the maneuver, but my body simply phased through the creature, just as my warhammer had done when I'd tried to attack. I let out a ragged sigh of relief, fighting to calm my rapidly thumping heart. My spirit was awfully low at this point. That last spirit walk had wiped me almost down to zero. But when I tried to down a spirit regen potion at my belt, my hand passed through that too. I sighed, resigned. That was annoying, sure, but it also made a certain sense. The Shadow Stride ability already seemed crazy powerful, but if I could chain spells or drink healing potions while the world was on pause, I'd be essentially unstoppable. So instead, I scooted around to the creature's front and lined up my body like I was teeing up at the driving range. I dropped my hammer low, a putter on the green, squared my shoulders, and took a few warm-up swings. My hammer swished harmlessly through the mantis's oddly shaped head. Satisfied with my form, I nodded. take a bite on this jerk? I muttered, deactivating Shadow Stride as I swung my hammer in a wicked uppercut. Time resumed in a flash, and the creature's descending jaws collided with my ascending strike. The result was as brutal as a head-on freeway crash. Its mandibles shattered, and its face imploded in a divot of flesh and gore and chitin. My solid follow-through actually lifted the mantis from its legs and into the air. It crash-landed squarely on its long, serpentine neck with a terrible crack, dead before it ever hit the ground. I felt a twinge of smug satisfaction, reveling in the sheer coolness of my new abilities. But I couldn't celebrate for too long. There were still two of these things waiting in the wings to dance. With gunslinger speed, I pulled a spirit regen potion from my belt, popped the top, and slammed it back as I scanned the battleground for my other opponents. The one that I'd hit twice with Umbra bolts was now maneuvering behind a set of trees. If I didn't know any better, I'd say it was trying to sneak up behind me. The other one, though, was missing. Maybe gone. I wheeled in a circle, searching for that final threat, when something slimy and viscous slammed into my chest and splattered onto my cheek. My skin immediately began to burn as though I'd just been splashed with hot oil. I swore, reaching up tentative fingers and wiped away a thick coat of green sludge. A notification promptly informed me that I'd just been burned by mantis venom, causing 5 points of corrosive damage per second over 30 seconds. I still didn't know where the stuff had come from, though. I spun again, a grimace plastered on my face as the acid chewed into my flesh. After a beat, I caught a streak of movement overhead. I looked up and spotted the fourth mantis hovering in the air, held aloft by glittering wings as it prepared another acid ball. I stole a look over my shoulder. The other mantis was almost within striking range, so it was distinctly possible these things were coordinating their assault, working to flank me. Thankfully, I still had a few other new tricks up my sleeve. I threw out my left hand, summoning the Umbra Bog spell below the feet of the land-bound mantis. A huge swath of ground, 30 feet in diameter, instantly morphed into a withering mass of jet-black goop, thick as prehistoric tar. The creature yowled as fat tendrils of Umbra wrapped around its legs, slithered up its torso, and stretched for its scythe-like arms. Though it didn't stop the creature completely, it drastically slowed it down. This was obviously a powerful crowd control technique, especially considering speed was my number one advantage. I swiveled back toward the flying mantis, and another incoming acid attack cannonballed straight at me. I flung myself right, rolled back to my feet, then called up my last new spell, Dark Shield, as yet another acid glob sailed toward me. A shimmering violet dome sprang to life around me, burning through my spirit like a wildfire in a dry forest. 45 spirit per second was an awfully steep price to pay. With that said, the acid blob splatted uselessly against the shield, saving me from another painful round of skin-melting burns. Quickly, I chugged a health regen potion and chased it with a spirit regen potion for good measure. Then, dismissed the shield and unleashed a flurry of Umbra bolts at the creature hovering overhead. The giant, buzzing menace was awfully quick, evading several of my attacks, but eventually, I landed a major hit, shearing off one of its wings, causing massive damage that sent the creature into a death spiral. It careened into a nearby tree and splatted like a bug against a windshield. Killed itself, really. Only one left. I turned on my heel, grip straining against the haft of my hammer, and stalked toward the last mantis, still stranded in my conjured bog.
True, I could slip into stealth or use one of my other fancy new abilities. But, at this point, I was ready to bury these things. Besides, with the creature hopelessly mired in the shadow bog for another 15 seconds, I figured a good old-fashioned face-pounding would do the trick. The creature struggled, shaking and squealing as I approached. One swift strike, coupled with savage blow, cut the sound off in an instant. Silence suddenly reigned. Yep, I could definitely get used to this. Time to go find a few more critters to experiment on. Moss Hag. I surveyed the yawning cave mouth set into the face of a sloping hill dotted with weeping willows sporting purple foliage. I pulled up my map, checking the quest marker one last time. This was it, all right. The Moss Hag's Burrow. It had taken me over 4 hours of hard hiking to get here, the trip made much longer by the countless mob battles fought on the way. I'd killed lots of stray spiderkin, a platoon of the storm marsh mantises, and a host of feral bog wolves, mean, mangy creatures that hunted and fought in well-coordinated packs. Despite my exhausting grind session, I hadn't managed to gain even a single level, and the loot had been mediocre at best. A few common items and a handful of coppers or silver from each of the various creatures. No more easy points now that I was back in the real world, instead of tromping through a loot-rich restricted area. That was okay, though, because I'd really been more concerned about getting a handle on my abilities than strictly grinding out EXP. And I'd been provided with lots of opportunities to do that. Although I knew there was still a lot to learn about my class, especially as I unlocked new skills, I felt as prepared as I was going to get for this battle with the Moss Hag. I double-checked my belt, ensuring it was stocked with an appropriate mix of potions, then pulled out a chunk of bread, which I downed in a few quick bites. I wasn't actually hungry, but the hasty meal earned me the well-fed buff, and I needed every edge I could get. Buff added, well-fed, base constitution increased by 2 points, duration 20 minutes. Next, I cast knight armor, feeling the reassuring cold swirl over my body as shimmering darkness coalesced around me. Then, downed a spirit regen potion. I patiently waited for my spirit bar to climb back to 100% before dropping into stealth. Time to do this thing. I crept forward, my warhammer light and ready in my hands. The interior of the cave was huge, a rough cavity gouged from the earth, the walls all ragged rock. The ground, however, was covered in soft grass, speckled with strange purple flowers, and boasted 15 or 20 hot springs, tendrils of steam rising and curling into the air. A variety of bugs flittered from flower to flower, while others zipped and zoomed around me, seeming to sense my presence even though I was still in stealth mode. I treaded further into the cave, searching for the Moss Hag I'd come to kill. A grassy hill near the back of the chamber sloped gently upward, toward a gash in the rock wall that might have been a passageway of some sort. Since there didn't seem to be any other way to go, I pressed on, crossing over a scalding, ankle-deep hot spring, then dashing up the hill, legs churning as I made for the opening. I was near the top when the ground beneath my feet started to rumble, shift, and shake. Damn it, not again, I thought, recalling my battle with the greater corrupt Waldgeist. I fought to keep upright, but a sudden jerk tossed me to the ground, and before I knew it, I was rolling down the slope, flop, 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 eventually landing in a tepid pool of water near the base of the grassy mound.
I quickly scrambled to my feet, somehow still in stealth, and watched in a mixture of horror and fascination as the hill stood, transforming into a horrible hunchback giantess, 25 feet tall and half as wide across the shoulders. I could tell it was a her from the drooping moss-green boobs hanging down like a pair of elephant ears. But everything else about her was wrong, disproportional and misshapen. Her head was bulbous, with beady red, deeply recessed eyes and a jutting lower jaw filled with blunt yellow teeth. A mop of ratty moss hair hung down in sheets, framing her disgusting face. Her body was likewise malformed, shoulders lopsided, left arm enormous and muscular, while the right was a stunted thing, though still far bigger than mine, grasping an odd wand fashioned from human bones. Her skin was a patchwork of greens in 100 different hues, forest, jade, split pea, vomit, and covered liberally in thick patches of hanging moss, lush grass, and sprawling colonies of brown-capped mushrooms. She sniffed at the air with a huge, flat nose the size of a dinner plate.
"Ah, there you be," she crooned, her voice muddy, as her beady eyes narrowed in on my position. I was in stealth, but somehow she saw through my technique with ease.
"If it isn't a shadow child come to call on the poor old moss hag. It isn't often I have company, so you'll have to forgive me for not tidying up in preparation for dinner."
She took another deep sniff, lips pulling back from her tombstone teeth.
"And speaking of dinner, I'm hungry."
The last word was a low rumble that reverberated in my chest. I gulped, trying to tame the slight tremor in my hands.
"I do so enjoy the flesh of the shadow children," she commented idly, flexing her oversized hand, then casually inspecting the wicked black talons jutting from her fingertips. Each of those nails was large enough to impale me clean through.
"So succulent," she murmured. "Fatty, rich. I'll break all of your bones first. Releases the marrow and gives the meat more flavor. Then I'll cook you alive. Sear the outside just so. Done right, the flesh practically melts like butter on the tongue. Delicious."
She smacked her enormous lips, the sound wet and disgusting.
"Or mayhap,"
she said after a second, fixing me with a hard glare,
"you could turn around and scurry back to that village of yours. Child flesh is more to my taste anyway, less stringy and tough. I might allow you to leave here alive if you go now and swear to never return. Be a mite bit easier on both of us, I think. Or..."
She seesawed her head back and forth, mossy hair flapping and bobbing.
"You could do something foolish like the other Ma-Tal your chieftain has sent after me. I've murdered 6 before you, Shadow Child. 6 powerful warriors, arcane shadowmancers, deadly necromancers, all perished by my hand. Their shattered bones decorate the bottom of these pools."
She swept her gimp arm toward the cavern.
"They were brave."
She nodded her gigantic head in solemn agreement.
Very brave.
She paused, a huge brown tongue flashing out, running over her crackled lips.
Brave, but stupid. Mayhap you will see the wisdom in cowardice, Shadow Child.
It wasn't a question. I'd never considered myself a coward. A guy who runs toward a burning car to save a life certainly isn't a coward. But this hideous creature scared me. And, giving her a quick once over, I had a sinking feeling her boasts about the other Ma'tal she'd killed were probably true. Obviously, this beastly woman was massive, cunning, and dangerous. She wouldn't be a good test otherwise. For a long beat, I seriously entertained the notion of turning back, but then I sighed deeply and dismissed the idea. There's no going back, I reminded myself. I had too much on the line. If I didn't win this battle, my new life in VGO would be hopelessly doomed before I ever really got out of the gate. Not to mention Cutter would end up as hog food. I clenched my weapon, muscles flexing, tightening, preparing. A small part of me felt like I should say something clever, an action movie hero delivering a laugh-out-loud one-liner. But fear clouded my brain. So instead of throwing down some snarky comment, I simply called on the freezing power of Shadow and lobbed a fat bolt of dark energy at her while she grinned stupidly, awaiting my retort. The blast didn't do any perceptible damage, and I immediately received a notification that she'd resisted blindness, but it did catch her off guard. She let out a thunderous roar, ropey strands of spittle flying free as she jabbed at me with her strange bone wand, unleashing a beam of cancer green light thick as a redwood. I scrambled right, narrowly avoiding the attack, and ran from the death beam slashing through the air behind me like a gigantic lightsaber. I hurled another umbra bolt at her as I moved, hoping to interrupt her spell, but it splashed uselessly against her like water on a raincoat. No obvious damage, no blindness, no nothing. I was ahead of the sweeping beam, but I was also quickly running out of room. The cavern wall was 10 feet away and getting closer with every footfall. In seconds, I found myself pinned against craggy stone with nowhere left to go as the beam closed in on me. I glanced back. No time to make it to the back of the cave, but maybe I could get inside her guard, where I'd be safe from the attack. With few other options available to me, I spun and sprinted forward, straight at the roaring moss hag. A knobby fist as big as a wrecking ball flashed out like a snake strike and smashed into me. The blow, a wicked uppercut, knocked off half my HP and hurled me high into the air. I cartwheeled, spun, and flipped before finally crash-landing in a pool of hot water, which, thankfully, muted the impact of the fall. The water was deeper than I'd thought, and I suddenly found myself kicking frantically against the dragging weight of my armor, fighting my way to the surface of the pool. A combat notification flashed on the edge of my vision as my head broke the waterline. Debuff added, blunt trauma. You have sustained severe blunt trauma damage. Stamina regeneration reduced by 30%. Duration, 2 minutes. Wow. She hit hard. Really hard. Apparently hard enough to leave lasting damage. That thought was fleeting, though, as I noticed the green death beam sweeping back toward me, only feet away. On panicked instinct, I stole a breath and dove back into the watery depths, dropping just below the surface as I kicked and paddled, battling desperately to stay afloat. I watched, lungs burning, stamina dropping, arms exhausted, as the green beam skimmed right over the top of the water, sending down a pulsing wave of terrible heat which knocked off a handful of HP without ever actually touching me. When the beam finally disappeared, I emerged from the water, gasping, and climbed onto the lush green grass lining the pool's edge. Thankfully, the beam was truly gone. Unfortunately, despite two successful hits with my Umbra Bolt, the moss hag sat virtually unaffected. I needed to figure out a different solution for defeating her. I lobbed another ball of shadow at her face, hoping to distract her if I couldn't hurt her, then downed a health regen potion before triggering my Shadow Stride ability. The world exploded into monochrome shades of gray splashed with purple as time screeched to a halt. I took a deep, calming breath, then hustled toward the moss hag, now locked motionless in time. Carefully, I maneuvered around her bulky torso so I could take a cheap stealth shot at her back when I emerged from the Shadowverse. If magic damage wasn't effective, maybe physical damage would do the trick. It took me a few seconds to get inside her guard, but I immediately realized she was too tall, too big to find an effective target. I really wanted to blast her in the teeth or in the back of the skull, but I didn't even come close to reaching her head. The best I could do at this point was whack her in the ass with my hammer. So, instead, I reevaluated, shifted left, dropped into stealth, and prepared to lay into her undersized arm, the one clasping the odd bone wand. Maybe I could shatter her elbow and force her to drop her weapon. A slim chance, but better than nothing. I planted my feet, brought my warhammer into position, and emerged from Shadow Stride back into the real world. Time resumed in a rush as I swung, aiming for her knobby joint. The hit connected with a crunch of breaking bone and tearing cartilage, earning both a critical hit and a backstab bonus as her limb contorted under the strain. She let loose a howl of indignant rage, but she didn't drop her wand and her HP remained virtually unaffected. No noticeable movement at all. She reared back again and lashed out with her crippled arm, aiming for my head. With my superior movement bonus, I evaded the attack, ducking under the swing, only to be met by an incoming misshapen clubfoot flying toward me. I dove over her leg a second before impact, rolling back to my feet just as a fat fist slammed into the ground behind me, leaving a devastating crater in the loamy earth.